Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And a quick shout-out, by the time you're hearing this recording, I want to thank all those who served in the military as we're coming up on Veterans Day here in the United States this coming Wednesday. There's a big shout-out to all of you in giving the ultimate sacrifice, so thank you for all you've done. In the meantime, let's get to fake warfare on a 6-foot by 4-foot slab of plywood, all things 40K. Not a whole lot in the new release department this week, unless you're, actually some of the Age of Sigmar stuff was actually, got me curious, let's put it that way.
Oh, how so?
Mostly it's Dark Elves and stuff like that, but I guess they're, Slaanesh is slowly making a reappearance back in the world there, getting unchained, so.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat. And also, as I mentioned before, there's a box set coming out. Should be retailing for about $160 and lots of conversion bait in terms of models that you can use both for Chaos Space Marines as well as Drukhari and all kinds of other stuff. So I was like, okay, we could have some fun with this. You mean a couple demons here and there. But other than that, there were no new talk about anything new for 40K. A couple random splatterings about what's going to be in the new supplements, but kind of seen a lot of those already, which I believe they have finally released. So not only the two supplements, which we talked about last week, as well as the Imperial Armor. So unfortunately, looks like another slow week for releases this week. And I think probably the biggest news, which came outside of Games Workshop, is Europe, I guess, is facing another shutdown due to COVID-19. And it appears that the retail stores are definitely going to be shut down, but not 100% sure if Games Workshop is going to shut down their factories or not. So concerns me right off the bat, because there's already several items that are hard to get. So it's kind of hard to even get your, woodshedding your hobby on, getting some models ready when you can't even buy the models. So a little concerning there. But hopefully this will be behind us Sunday soon. So, but nonetheless, we did have three tournaments this weekend, all from other parts of the world here. And so let's go over our three GTs from this past weekend. So, Bray, where do you want to go first?
Why don't we just start with the Amiable Bright Play War 20?
Yeah, interesting name. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but okay. And your top five looks something like this. So in fifth place, Ryan Zeckel with Eldari. Wow, that's amazing. How did Eldari make the top five? William Hillebrand was right on his tails, by the way, with Necrons in sixth place with an identical score. Corey Kubler with Cult Mechanicus comes in fourth. Marshall Reeves with Adeptus Custodes comes in third. Gary Sacco with Dark Angels comes in second. And your winner, none other than Alex McDougall with Gene Stealer Cult. Both Gary and Alex going undefeated. What do you make of Alex's list?
It's not bad. I'm not entirely too surprised about all the Ridge Runners. So he's got two units of three Ridge Runners, utilizing the heavy mining laser, which kind of surprised. That's what I hear him talk about. And that's in a
especially now can move and shoot without penalty.
Yeah, get the Acolyte hybrids with hand flamers, which is the choice to go with right now when it comes to guns with them.
And those hand flamers got the 12-inch range, right?
Yeah. And then it's a Gene Stealer list, but he's also got Tyranids. He's got a patrol with a Broodlord and Neurothrow, two Ripper Swarms, six-man Hive Guard unit with a Paler Cannon, five Zoanthropes, and an Exocrine. Kind of falls more under the forces of the Hive Mind Cult.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, I think that makes this list interesting to me is it's all about offense. There's nothing that says to me, oh, those units are to take board center and hold on to it. Everything here says I'm here to kill you, with except of maybe the Brood Brothers squads, but they're unit of 10 guardsmen. They're going to fold like a, cheap tent. So everything else is pretty much designed to kill the opponent. So,
well, I mean, that's kind of what the Gene Stealer Cult technically want to do. If you look at the way that they're designed, you don't pop up out of little markers just so you can stand there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, just everything is just tearing apart. Yeah. I have a feeling this army plays a lot like, comes in. If it doesn't, and keeps knocking you off, I'm just going to take a look at what kind of scores he got. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, actually, if you look at his later scores, he had 81 points round one, 92 round two, and then 70 and 89. So he's winning, but he's curious to see how many points he's giving up at the same time. Yeah, it doesn't have the pairings. Okay, so interesting. Yeah, he's only averaging, yeah, battle points, strength of schedule is only 71 points. So yeah, he's keeping his opponent's scores down, which is kind of interesting. So by constantly knocking them off objectives. Let's take a look at Gary Sacco's list. Dark Angels, which many believe are one of the stronger Space Marines, at least coming out, are expecting lots of big things from their supplement.
It is a very unique list. And it starts off with a patrol detachment. We've got a couple units in the falling into the No Force Org slot, according to this list. That's a Deathwing Ancient and a Deathwing Command Squad, which had a Deathwing Sergeant with Thunderhammer Storm Shield and one with Lightning Claw there. You had Azrael and Belial in the HQ slots, a 5-man tactical squad that included a Grav Cannon, then a Deathwing Terminator squad. So pretty much all Thunderhammer Storm Shield, with the exception of C1 here, oh, two, with Chain Fist, Cyclone Missile Launcher, and Storm Bolter. And then, okay, so three of them had it. You had the rest were those two with the Missile Launcher, and then five with chain, the basic Chain Fist and Storm Bolter loadout. That's a total of 10. Then there's the Ravenwing Apothecary, and in Fast Attack, there's a Bike Squad, and we've also got two with Multigun. There's the Heavy Support with the almost obligatory Eradicator Squad, and a Hellblaster Squad with 10 Hellblaster, utilizing the Assault Plasma. And they rounded it out with a Lance Meteor Storm.
It's funny, it's got all the ingredients of the usual lists, but it's never seen a list quite like this one before. So, I mean, the basic recipe is pretty simple. The Ravenwing bikers zoom forward, and then there's that stratagem where they can deep strike the Deathwing Knights at super close range, to as long as they're close to the Ravenwing bikers, as well as they can be within 9 inches. I think it can be within 6, I want to say, and within 6 inches of the other targets and his charge in. Obviously, he's got them all kitted out for close combat with all those Chain Fists and Thunder Hammers. So he's pretty much going to chop down anything gets in its way. It's got the obligatory Eradicators, which everybody wants, but he also added a Hellblaster Squad. It's a little bit of change there. And then interesting, he's got the Lance Speeder Storm, which is always handy for deploy scramblers and any of the other secondaries that require holding board quarters. So trying to figure out where the got a Deathwing Agent and the Deathwing Command Sergeant. I guess they just, I'm not that familiar with them, so I kind of have to read up on them, but I'm assuming it's just probably providing buffs, you know, reroll ones to hit and rerolls to ones to wound. But I have to say, this list is kind of neat because it's pretty portable. This is a pretty easy list to take on the plane.
Yeah, definitely seems like something that can be carried on.
I have to see how many Deathwing Terminators I still have lying around. So very much so. He actually scored a lot more points than Alex McDougall did. 91 points in his first win, 88 in his second, 77 in his third, then 91 in his third game. So very interesting there. So I am curious how an Eldari player comes in fifth place. Let's take a look at Ryan Zeckel's list.
Wow, he used a custom craft world attribute.
Yep, expert crafters and hunters of the ancient relics, which are used to be back in 8th edition, pretty much stock what people took. He's got a Firesire with Doom and Fortune and Ghostwalk and the Phoenix Gem. That's always a fun little trick to play on an unsuspecting player. Two warlocks, one with Ghostwalk, Protect and Jinx, and Seer of the Shifting Vector. I have to look that one up. I have no idea what that does. And then the other one is Ghost Walk, Protect Jinx, and that's all I took. Only two powers on that guy. Three units of five Rangers. There we go. Wraith Blades. He took one unit of five with Ghost Axe and Force Shield, and two units of Wraith Guard with Wraith Cannons. And then two units of Shining Spears. Looks like, oh my gosh, like the bare minimums. Three-man squads. And then two units of Wave Serpents. And then he took a super heavy auxiliary detachment. I haven't heard that said in. My God, he took a Wraith Knight, folks, with Titanic Ghost Glaive and Scatter Shield.
Do you know what this looks like? It looks like a 6th edition list.
It does.
That's crazy. Well, he did good, though. He made top five.
Well, let's think about this for a second. All right, so he's got the Rangers, which he can deploy forward, so he can get to objectives quickly. No different than Space Marine Scouts did earlier in the edition. Wraith Blades and Guard are still T6 with, I think, two or three wounds. So good luck in moving them off targets. And they still are, you know, granted short-range guns, but still hefty shooters. The two Shining Spears of three, I would assume that they're not the damage dealers most people use Shining Spears for. I think they're probably more for scouting out, secondaries and maybe harassing some back line. But and then the two Wave Serpents, I'm assuming the shooty Wraith Guard are going into those, especially because he's got Ghost Walk up. And he's got the Ghost Walk power left and right. So he's definitely looking to, you know, get guys in the close combat quick. But the Wraith Knight, wow, that just comes out of left field. And it's definitely the close combat variant. So, that is a very interesting list. All right, just looking down the list here of other notables to talk about from this particular tournament. Want to give a quick shout out to Stephen Ogloff with Astra Militarum, user of the winner of the Wooden Spoon. But he wish we could tell you more about his list, but it was not submitted, so sorry about that. But or maybe the Inquisition forced it to be removed from the website. Not really sure.
All right, ready for the next place.
All right.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
So let's move on to our next tournament. Where are we going to this time, Ray?
Next up is the 2020 Renegade Mini GT.
Yeah, not to be confused with the Renegade Open.
Yeah, all right. So here in fifth place, we had Kyle Thompson playing Adeptus Astartes. And fourth, Colin McDade playing Hog Requins. Third was Drew Ward playing Ultramarine. Second, Kevin Leonard playing Nurgle. And in first, Asa Carlson playing Slaanesh Demons.
Slaanesh Demons. I haven't even opened this file yet. Let me guess what's in there. Three Lords of Change? Three Keeper Secrets, rather? Let's find out.
Three Keepers of Secrets. We've got three Keepers of Secrets. One is Exalted. We've got three 10-man Demonette Squads. A Vanguard Detachment that has the Contorted Epitome. And Shalaxy Hellbane, making it basically four Keepers of Secrets, except for all that is the named one. And then four-man units of Fiend.
Okay, that's insane. That's just... So Fiends run up, make sure you don't get out of combat, and everything else beats the snot out of you. All right, that's insane. Actually, yeah, all three Keeper Secrets were Exalted. Holy cow.
or all three? I only saw... It's in a different spot on one of them compared to the others, so...
Yeah, for some reason it's not consistent. Yeah, which is bizarre, but... But it looks like he chose his. That's interesting. He didn't roll randomly, but okay.
Probably so it could be.
Probably. I mean, both worked.
When you have three.
Oh my goodness. And he selected. He got no fewer than 83 points in any round. That's crazy. But chaos wasn't done. Kevin Leonard coming in second with Nurgle. Let's take a look at his list. Starts off with a battalion of Death Guard, Poxmongers to be exact, if you're looking for plague companies. Got a Chaos Lord with a Bale Sword and Blight Grenades, Bolt Pistol, and Worm Spitter. Then a Demon Prince with Blades of Purification, Arch Contaminator, as well as a Hellforge Sword, Iron Clot Furnace, Malefic Talons, and then, of course, that becomes his Warlord, and then, of course, he has Wings. Three units of five Plague Marines, a Foul Blight Spawn, and then not one, not two, but three units of three Malefic Blight Haulers. Seem to be the new hotness right now.
Yeah.
Then he moved to a demon. Yeah. I get the impression that they weren't that big of a deal last edition because it took forever to come out. But anyway, he has a patrol detachment kicking around here as well with a Great Unclean One and a unit of five Nurglings. So the Great Unclean One... What was it got on here? Bioblade, Doomsday Bell, Shivering Pox, Ritual and Blessing. Oh, it's an Exalted Great Unclean One. My mistake. Yeah. Uh-huh. So he probably pops that in one table quarter and says, he's holding this objective. The Nurglings scamper forward and says, I got this one. And then so in games of four objectives, you're already down. He's got half of them. In the five and six games, he's only has to go after one. He's got between the Plague Marines and the Light Haulers. He can, yeah, all with multi-meltas and missile launchers. Yeah. Do some serious damage and knock you off the three objectives. All right, then. Colin McDade actually did pretty well, going 4-1. Interesting to see him up there. Kyle Thompson, if that name sounds familiar, he's one of the writers for Goonhammer. So nice to see him do well in fifth place. Ben Sherwin, he's been struggling ever since his big win there at Iron Halo. Going only 3-2, coming in 11th place with Black Templars. And David Villarreal came in 28th place with Salamanders, going 2-3. Actually dropped his first two games, bounced back to win two more, and then lost his last one. Interesting that he was struggling that much.
Wow. And all the way down at the bottom, we actually have two Blood Angels players.
Yeah, Carl Alsom as well. Actually didn't do too bad. He got 65 points his first game, but wow, I'd love to watch game three. How you only get 17 points is unbelievable. But let's take a look at that list there. Ray, you want to read that off for us?
Yeah, Carl Isom's list had a Battalion Detachment with Chief Librarian Mephiston, a Primaris Captain with the Heavy Bolt Pistol and the Heavy, and the Mastercrafted Power Sword and Relic Shield, then a Primaris Captain on a chaplain on bike, 3 5-man assault intercessor squads. It looks like he gave them power fists. I wasn't 100% for sure if you could do that, but I guess they ruled you can. It's a little iffy on the wording, but a 5-man blade guard veteran squad. Oh, 6 because the sergeant. Primaris apothecary, a Redemptor dread with all Gatling cannons, and 2 Vanguard Vet squads, 4 Lightning Claws, and then the sergeant had Relic Blade and Storm Shield for this for each one. And the fast attack, 2 Outrider squads and a Suppressor squad, and in the heavy support, the obligatory Eradicator squad.
Huh. This seems like a pretty cut and paste kind of list here. So surprised he did as poorly as he did. So
I think in this case, him having a whole lot of like the troops being 5-man squads might have hurt him. I can't say that for sure. I didn't see the game, but especially when you look at like the kind of list we see in first and second with Exalted Demon.
Yeah, that's true. All right then. But we salute you for sticking it out for the game, the entire tournament there. So, all right, what tournament do we have next?
All right, the final event of the GT level is the South Georgia Havoc.
Five guesses where it was held.
Northern Florida. Anyway, in fifth place was Will Taylor playing Astra Militarum. Fourth was Tim Pinney playing Adeptus Sororitas. Third, Jamie Paris playing Adeptus Astartes. Second, Daniel Hester's playing Dark Angels. And in first, Stephen Mitchell playing Goff's Orcs.
Orcs? Holy cow. Hearing more and more about Orcs making the top, being more and more competitive. I think people are slowly figuring out how to play them.
Yeah. So on the list, we've got a battalion of Goffs, of course. We've got the Big Mech with custom force field, Gazgul Thraka, and a War Boss with custom Shooter and Power Claw. They gave it the Killer Claw. That's his Warlord.
He didn't make Gazgul, though. Boys. Warlord. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice. Probably just because there'll be a big target on Gazgul anyway. But got 3 very large units of boys. Looks like 230s and 129-man squads. Got 2 5-man commando squads. 2 squads of Mega Knobs. Each one's a 5-man unit. A Pain Boy. 3 mech guns. There's a Smasher gun. And then a patrol detachment of Goths with a Weird Boy. And a unit of 10 Gretchen. Eric, are you still there? Did I lose you?
Nope, I got the mute on. Hey, how's that? Professional podcaster. I'm talking away. Yeah, it's an interesting list because it has a lot of the elements we've seen in other orc lists that have done well. The large units of boys to kind of force the opponent from leaving their deployment zone. You got the commandos to sneak around, mega knobs with the, you know, the power claws to do some heavy hitting. The mech guns, I'm assuming they're mech guns, not beer koozies, but only three of them as opposed to the usual nine. I thought that was a little interesting choice. And then he has the one little patrol there with a weird boy and 10 Gretchen. I'm trying to figure out what's so special about making them a goth specialist mob. I've got to review my old Phoenix Awakening, but they're also goths in the regular. I don't know. Why would you take a separate patrol and lose the command points for just another weird boy? That's strange. I don't know.
Well, they're worried about the points, I guess, or the command points.
Yeah, I guess not. And Ghazghoul hasn't been nominated as the Supreme Leader yet, right? So he can't go into a Supreme Detachment, Supreme Command Detachment.
Correct.
Okay. So maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. Either way, so kind of the days of people saying that hordes are dead might be premature.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel Hester's with Dark Angels came in second here. Took a quick gander of this list. He starts off with sponging a couple more relics, and then he's got a librarian in Phobos armor, as well as a Primaris chaplain on bike, and that became his warlord. Let's see what he's got here. Outrider, Mantra of Strength, Canticle of Hate, and Master of Sanctity, so he's got a little extra powers there, and Emperor's Judgment. The librarian, by the way, in case you're keeping track at home, had Hallucinization and Tenebrose Curse. I have to look that one up. I forgot what that did. In the troop slots, he's got two units of infiltrators, one unit of intercessors. In the elite slot, surprise, surprise, he's got Deathwing Knights, but only five of them compared to what we saw earlier today. It's kind of small. One Invictor Tactical Suit with twin Iron Hail Autocannon and a Ravenwing Apothecary. In the fast attack slot, he had three of the Invader ATE, so he's playing Mario Kart. He's got a squad of Outriders, and then he's got, in the flyer slot, we haven't said flyers in a while, two Ravenwing Dark Talons. And then, of course, to round out the list, you have the obligatory Landspeeder Storm to claim some objectives.
I can tell you exactly one of the things he did. He kept that What's Ravenwing that? Apothecary with the Invader ATVs. You know why?
Why is that?
Because thanks to the keywords, you can have the Ravenwing Apothecary bring back an ATV with full wounds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it's a chief. He gave the chief apothecary chapter command, which meant he could do it for once a turn. I believe once a turn, bring back a free ATV. And there are eight wounds, if I remember right.
I think that's right. I want to say there's six, but either way, it's ridiculous.
Should give me a second, I can pull that.
If I remember right, they were similar to a Venom.
They have eight wounds.
Oh, of course they do.
Yep. So he kept that apothecary with that ATV squad and kept them around.
Makes him a nice little trap to keep shooting those.
He also gave the apothecary the Armor Indominus. Ouch. We'll talk about
Armor Indominus is 2 of 4 up, right?
Pulling up here because I think you're right, but I want to make the Armor Indominus. Add one wound characteristic to bearer, has a save characteristic of 2+, and once rebattable before making a saving throw for the bearer, it can activate its armor's force field. If it does until the end of the phase, that bearer has a 3+ hit bone.
Holy cow. All right then.
So +1 wound. Yeah, talk about making it hard to kill.
Can take a little bit more than a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
All right, just looking down the list here. Mark Perry came in 8th with Space Wolves. Mike Rebecca him from Brohammer Team. Looking down, Colin Watts came in 13th with Farsight Enclaves. Robert Harp came in 17th with Necrons. Interesting, the Brohammer guys seem to be spreading their wings a little bit in terms of different army builds. Another Goonhammer favorite, Craig Sniffen, came in 20th with Ultramarines. And, of course, we have the honor of the Wooden Spoon goes to Ian Vaughn with Death Guard, going a perfect 0-5, keeping us... Actually, I should manage to pull 67 points in round 3, but he was able to get only 68 points in the next two games combined. What does a losing Death Guard list look like? He starts off with a battalion with a play company, I can't even pronounce it.
Inexorable.
Inexorable. Thank you. I didn't even heard of it. Maybe that's why he lost. He's got a Chaos Lord with Chain Axe and Worm Spitter, a Demon Prince, Miasma Pestilence, Arch Contaminator, Malefic Talon, Leet Spore Casket. I'm not sure what that does. And he's indeed his Warlord. And he also added Typhus. Haven't seen Typhus in a while. Blades of Purification and Putrescent Vitality. It's got a huge blob of Plague Marines, 15 Plague Marines, followed by three units of 20 Poxwalkers, 60 in total.
I think they're just 19 because there's no Sergeant option.
Oh, yeah. That's weird. Okay. I was looking for the Sergeant. Never mind. 19. So take that back. So he's got 57 Poxwalkers. Biologus Putrefier, 2 Hellforge Contemptor Dreadnoughts, and a Noxious Blightbringer. And then last but not least, a Hellforge Leviathan Dreadnought. So the question is, were they playing with the old or the new Forge World rules? I'm assuming they played with the old ones, being that came out today.
Yes, sir.
So they could have possibly played with the new rules. I don't know.
No, I don't think they would have, because it would have been, because it literally would have just come out that day. Not to mention, let's not forget, but at least as far as I'm aware, it's not necessarily something that gets spread out to all the stores.
Good point. So there you have it. Your GT coverage from this past weekend. So a couple of big names we talked about. What's that?
We do want to talk about the RTT, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, I totally forgot about that. So, yeah, never to be forgotten. We've got, support our friends who play in the competitive circuit. So friends of the show had a little RTT up in Vegas at Power 9 Games. Take a quick look at how folks did there. There's also some notable names, too, from the competitive circuit. So it'd be pretty cool to check that out. So as I'm refreshing my screen here, give me 1 second.
I'll go off the top five real quick. Top five. We've got in fifth place, Brandon Empey playing Harlequins. And fourth, Adam Baker playing Imperial Knights. Third, Pablo Martinez playing White Scars. And in second, Evan Stump playing Salamanders. And in first, Aurelio Correa playing Dark Angel.
So Aurelio has been one of the top players for quite some time. Interesting, he's playing Dark Angels. I've not seen him play with Dark Angels in a while, so let's take a look what's in his list. He starts out with a battalion of Dark Angels, surprise, surprise. Captain on the bike, Mrs. Warlord, Scott Rider, Warlord trait, Power Sword, and the Burning Blade with Storm Shield. He's got a Ravewing Talon Master and a Primaris Chaplain on bike. A troop slot, he's got a unit of 5 incursors and a unit of 5 of intercessors and a unit of 5 tactical squad. All right. Elite slot, Deathwing Knights. How many has he got? He's got 6 of them in the unit.
Maybe 7, because it says Knight Master here with the flail of the Unforgiven also.
Oh, there it is. Okay, so there was a sergeant in there. 1 Ravenwing Apothecary and then 2 units of Ravenwing Black Knights. And then also a Ravenwing Dark Shroud. And then last but not least, in a heavy support slot, he's got a Devastator Squad. The Obligatory Grav can't. No, he's got something different here. All with Multimelta. Interesting. Yeah. What if he just didn't have the Eradicator models?
Probably.
Nah, Aurelio's. He's a craftsman there when it comes to building lists. So I have a feeling he's trying to try something with the drop pod. So, a different flavor on the same riff that we've been seeing so far with a lot of other Dark Angels lists. Evan Stump, who has won several of the previous events there. Right, what's he got on his list?
He's going to actually close it. All right. We've got a Battalion of Salamanders with Adrax Agatone, a Primaris Chaplain. He made it a Master of Sanctity. And his troops, 3 5-man intercessor squads. Each sergeant of each has a power fist. In the elites, 2 aggressor squads, each one with 5 models, and they're the auto bolt storm gauntlets and grenade launcher. Also in the elites is an apothecary, which he made the chief apothecary, and he's also got 3 blade guard squads, 2 5-man. And then 1 4-man. That is a lot of blade. How did he get that many blade? Someone was cruising eBay.
That are wheeling and dealing with people who had Dominus boxes.
And in the heavy support, he's got 3 units of Eradicator.
Yeah, this army screams to me like this is kind of what Marines should be, for lack of a better term, simply because it's just hyper elite and everybody who that does their job very well. I mean, I don't even know, like, target priority. What do you shoot at first? It's just
too many choices.
Yeah, a lot of choices. And I don't think there's a wrong one. It's just a matter of just hope you kill it fast, because it will kill you fast. Looking over his troop choices one more time, though. I think that's probably the only way you could probably really take him down would be because he's only got 15 models that are OPSEC. So like when I look at like that orc list we looked at the previous tournament, I could see him having a lot of trouble with this because everything he's got is high firepower, low number of shots. So, with the exception of the aggressor squads. But if the orc player's smart, he'll take them out first. All right, some other notable names at this tournament. Pablo Martinez. Yes, that's that Pablo Martinez. If you listen to this show, chances are you probably listen to Chapter Tactics. So, quite clear that if the White Scars, Pablo can come in third place, that White Scars must be completely broken. So, Adam Baker, you should recognize his name as well, because he won an event about 2 weeks ago with Imperial Knights. That kind of set all the internet experts on tilt. As how does an Imperial Knight army win an RTT? Well, he still did well here. He came in fourth place, going 2-1. Kevin Clough, a friend of the show, came in seventh with Ultramarines. Frequent guest on the show, Josh Jenny, came in 10th with Chaos Space Marines. And looking at the bottom here, Sean McNamara coming in 16th place, going a perfect 0-3, is your Wooden Spoon winner. So. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and use unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. There you go. So see how that shakes up the ITC Top 10. We'll take a quick look at that. Your ITC Top 10 has indeed shaken up a little bit. In 10th place, you now have Nicholas Weiss making his first appearance in the Top 10 at 1,034 points. Mike Porter continues to fall, despite the fact that there were several events over in England, and he actually did quite well in those, coming in 9th. Kyle Thompson, who we just talked about earlier, came in 8th. 7th place, Johan Nicholson, holding down the 7th spot with 1,046 points. Just mere inches above him is, in 6th place, is Ruud Steenbakkers, with only a 1-point lead there. Rickard Nielsen, with 1,053 points, holds down the 5th spot. Mr. Number 1 prior to COVID, Nick Vijay, has now fallen to 4th place as Colin McDade took advantage of this week's action and jumped into 3rd. 2nd place, Ken Knox, at 1,089 points, and still comfortable lead is in 1st place, Dan Sammons with 1,131 points. So there's your ITC Top 10. Didn't think we'd have this much action this late in the season, especially with all the COVID going on. Ray, what events we got going on next week, allegedly?
Well, unless I'm missing some, I'm only seeing one. That is the Rural Community Fun Day in Mutitjulu, Northern Territory, Australia.
That sounds like fun. Well, we're sure to cover that, as well as any other breaking news and all other news related to competitive 40K. In the meantime, to double check our Facebook page for additional updates, and we'll be posting a couple other fun stuff related to the hobby. Also, leave us a review, both on iTunes or wherever you listen to fine podcasts like this. Love to hear your feedback at this point. So until next week, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.